Turn in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 19. We're reading verses 9 through 13, and the Bible reads, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and the disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why does your master eat with the publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye now and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, if you were the day of Christ to walk the streets of Palestine, and all of the towns located there, you would find many different types of people. Some were familiar with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the priests, you know, the religious ones. And Jesus sometimes had dinner with a few of these people. Now, Jesus may not have been liked by these people, but he was popular. And therefore, he was a good dinner party guest. And then you have the majority of the Jews, the hard-working Jewish middle class, so to speak. And this is the group made up of people that often surrounded Jesus. They were the common people. They were the hard workers like the fishermen and the farmers and the craftsmen and the housewives and most people that you would find around Galilee and Judea. And many of these people followed Jesus. And some had even claimed to be disciples. That is, until many would leave him because when the teachings of Jesus got tough, it was a very difficult thing to swallow. But then there were the outcasts. The Hebrew word anawim originally meant materially poor. But over time, this word encompassed the idea of the downtrodden, the outcast, the voiceless people, those who had little or no influence. And it is this group of people that were often marginalized. Like many, they felt alone, uncared for, and unwanted. Our scripture reading is the calling of the Apostle Matthew, or Levi. Matthew was a tax collector. And chances are that Matthew was one of those who was financially well off. But he was limited on his associates. While we would probably not think of him as the downtrodden, he is part of a group of people that others would distance themselves from. If you're familiar with the account of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, you may remember in that account that here was a man who truly wanted to see Jesus. And Zacchaeus was a man of very short stature. And because of his stature, there was a lot of people that kept him from doing what he wanted to do. It forced him to be undignified. It forced him to run ahead and to climb a tree just to get a chance to see Jesus. It is our scriptures that list the tax collectors and sinners in the same group of individuals. How many people do you think of who want to be sinners? You know, this combination, tax collectors and sinners, is used several times in the New Testament And on one occasion, Jesus told the religious leaders that the tax collectors and the sinners will enter the kingdom of God before them. But my point tonight is not Matthew. It's not tax collectors. My point is to think about how Jesus treated people that were marginalized, those who were on the social outer rim. Many times we can read where Jesus ate with these people. Jesus also speaks of the faith of sinful women. Jesus would touch lepers. He would heal the blind. And Jesus would befriend the friendless. Do you recognize these two verses? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Those verses come from Isaiah chapter 61 in the first two verses. And it is a portion of the scripture that Jesus reads in his hometown of Nazareth in Luke chapter 4. And Jesus says that what Isaiah had said has come true in him. Jesus did come to reclaim the poor in spirit, the downtrodden, and the outcast. That when he was sitting down and eating with Matthew at his home, the religious leaders questioned the other disciples about what Jesus was doing. And I hope that when I read that you caught that part. They didn't come to Jesus for the simple reason that they sought to divide. They wanted the disciples of Jesus to look down upon Jesus for what he was doing with the sinful people of their day. Now, I guess you could say, when Jesus heard it, I guess you could use the frame that the way Jesus responded as getting in their face a little bit. He said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but only the sick. Now, I don't know if Jesus meant that and said that in a way that could be sarcasm. You see, the Pharisees only thought that they were, well, okay. But it was Jesus who saw them for who they truly were. And then he goes and he says to them, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. So let's fast forward to today. And we start asking ourselves the question, who are the marginalized? In our society today, we often start with the poor and the homeless and the chronic sick. And we might go to groups of people like children or senior citizens or those who are single for any reason. They are the ones who simply don't have much of a voice in our society. You know, sometimes it may be their profession that is looked down on, or that their life doesn't measure up to the standards that we hold. But for whatever reason, they are less than. The place Jesus started, he started with personal interaction. whether it was with Matthew, whether it was the woman at the well, or the children that were brought with him, Jesus interacted with them. He never told them that he didn't have time. He never told them that he was just too busy. You see, Jesus understood that most people want a true relationship. But sometimes that emotional investment is not always easy. I guess we have to face it. Some people are more draining than others. But what are we to do with folks like that? Jesus told the Pharisees to go and learn what it means that God desires mercy and not sacrifice. Personal interaction with people who don't fit may be a sacrifice of your time. But oftentimes when we finally open up our heart, we finally maybe realize within it is the mercy that we extend. Now, secondly, we need to meet their needs. In James chapter 1 and verses 26 and 27, James writes here, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Then he goes to explain pure religion. "And undefiled before God is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." I guess James is saying in a sense that if we think we are religious and we cannot control our mouth, or if our mouth gets in the way of our religion and in the way of our actions, then our religion is worthless. When James talks about orphans and widows, what that means for us are the people who are vulnerable. These are the people whom the world oftentimes mistreats or neglects. And sadly, that can happen within the church without any evil intent. Think about your life this past week. How many of us would raise our hand and say, "Did you have a really busy week this week? Did you have a lot of time on your hands, or was all of your time filled up?" You know, sometimes we are too busy to connect in the lives of others. Sometimes it's easy to forget people who are not overly involved in the church life. You know, sometimes I guess the old adage, out of sight, out of mind, goes to play with even our own members who, for one reason or another, are not here as often as they should be. And so they are set into the back of our minds, and we oftentimes neglect them. But what about the youngest ones in the body of the Lord, or in our congregation, or even the oldest? For they are oftentimes a big part of the groups of people who are neglected. You know, we oftentimes say, "Well, the kids will go off and they'll go play." We need to make the most of every opportunity to do good, especially to those of the household of faith, Galatians 6 and verse 10. And third, we need to value their gifts. Marginalized people oftentimes have unnoticed gifts. Paul's teaching to the church at Corinth is that the church is the body, and therefore one part of the body cannot say that it doesn't need another part. Listen to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 22 through 26. Paul writes here, no, much more those members of the body which seems to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacks, that there should be no schism in the body, but that members should have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffers, all members suffers with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Learning to value the gifts that someone brings to the church is vital to helping the marginalized realize their worth instead of living in self-pity. General Eisenhower, at one time he reprimanded one of his generals for speaking of a soldier as being just a private. And Eisenhower added to that, the private is the man who wins the war. It's not the generals. They're not on the front lines. They're not fighting the battle. And you can have 100 generals in the back and never win a war, unless you have the private. And that is exactly what Paul is saying in these verses. Every single person is important. Every congregation. I don't care how strong they are. It doesn't matter how faithful they are. They all have, to one degree or another, marginalized members. Some are marginalized because they choose to live that way. Some because all they do is complain. And they drain the emotional resources of the people around them. But there are many who are marginalized simply because they don't know how to fit in. They don't know how to find their place. They don't know how to share their gift or even know what value they bring to the body. And it is this second group of marginalized people that we, you and I, can help. The first group has to decide if they want to be a part of the body instead of deciding like they like to be separate from but close enough to complain. We need to pray for them, and we also need to love them. Friends, we need to be individuals in this church who personally choose to interact with people that are often left alone. We need to be there to help them meet their needs when we have the ability to do so. And we need to value their gifts regardless of the magnitude of the gift by helping them to see how best they can serve the body. And then we will have less marginalized members and more unity in the body of Christ. A lot of folks don't really understand in the outside world, the religious world, just how much of a tight-knit group the Lord's body, the Lord's church is. They like to be able to come, do their thing on Sunday, leave and go back to their own separate life, concern themselves with what they're going to be doing the next day and what they're going to have the next day, and not really concern themselves too much with everyone else. But being a part of the body and being connected together with the head of the body, Jesus Christ, makes us something set apart from the rest of the world. Nobody else has that. Nobody else has that. And everyone in the Lord's body is valuable. You know, it wasn't too long ago when they finally realized that the appendix has a function in the body. They thought it was just something left over from evolution that just kind of didn't need to be there. They finally realized that it had a valuable part in the body. And God put it there for a reason. Can we live without it? Yes, we can. But it still has a function, even if it's just a small function. And everyone in the Lord's church has a function, whether great or small. It all works together to make a unified body of Christ. If you're not a child of God tonight, we want to give you the opportunity to obey the gospel, to be baptized and to have your sins washed away, and to be added and to be a part of that body. We want to give you that opportunity tonight. Maybe you are that child of God who's been marginalized, and you want to find out and know how you can fit in. And maybe you need the prayers. Maybe there's something in your life that you need to change in order to make yourself fit in. If that's the case and you need the prayers of the congregation, we want to give you that opportunity also. If there's anyone that has a need this evening, pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.